Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Yeah, so let's start in verse 12. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and this is important to note, you being dead in your sins. Okay, that's the really important part for that verse there. You being dead in your sins. Let me pause for a second. You being dead in your sins. I would like us to just collectively, we can just think about that term for a second. Being dead. Well, what does that mean here? Being dead in your sins. Like, I know we always talk about, oh, before I was saved, I was dead. You know, I've heard people describe it too, and when they start describing it, I kind of just get the feeling that they really don't know what they're saying when they say, oh, I was dead before I was saved. Just think about that for a second. What does that mean to you right now? Don't even think right now, what does it biblically mean? Don't try to figure it out. Just think about what has that meant to you, being dead in your sins. The reason why I point that out is because that has a lot of interpretations. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot, because people don't understand what it's meant that you were dead before you were saved. And obviously, the root of that death is sin, because it says being dead in your sins. So in other words, it was because you were in sin that you were dead. But this is the most popular, in my opinion, and I believe this is true, but in my opinion, it's the most popular interpretation of anywhere in the Bible where it said that you were dead before you were saved, and that is that we were separated from God. I'm sure many of us have heard that separation from God. We were dead before we were saved, and somehow the word dead takes on the meaning separation from God. Again, even with the Trinity thing I was talking about, these are things that we need to take with a grain of salt, or rather just take with the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and understand that not everything that everybody says is true. And furthermore, if you don't have any verse for it whatsoever, I just really wouldn't believe it just yet, you know. As far as teaching goes, I just wouldn't believe someone teaching that if there's no verse for it. I'm not trying to, you know, like crush everybody's toes with all these things, but still, if toes are going to be crushed, it's still worth saying. I'd just rather not, you know what I'm saying, this be perceived as something that I'm just trying to attack every single thing that we've ever thought before. But it is important to note that there is no verse that says that death means separation from God. Okay? I'll explain to you why the word death has meant separation from God and still does very predominantly in the church today. It's because it doesn't make sense to people that you were literally dead before you got saved, because they know that you are still walking around living. So if you were dead, that couldn't mean in their mind that you were physically dead, even though, I'll get to that, it is talking about physical death. You were physically dead, okay? I'll prove to you that in a second. The word death before you were saved is not referring to separation from God. And again, we take this all the way back to Adam, right? In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. God told Adam that in the day that he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that he would die that day. And because he didn't fall over and get buried in the ground that day, we say, well, it couldn't mean physical death. So we just make our next assumption, which means he must have been separated from God. He lost fellowship with God, and that's what death means. Again, my first point is this. Where's the verse in the Bible that says that death means separation from God? That's my first point, okay? Here's what it does mean, though. Okay, so let's not reinterpret the word death the way that we want to reinterpret it, just because it doesn't make sense that, well, what else could it mean? This is what it means. Death is a thing, okay? Death is a thing. I couldn't draw a picture of it for you. I don't know if the best way to describe it is that it's a spiritual thing, but regardless of what it is, or you know, how you describe it exactly, I know that death is a thing, a noun, the same way that sin is a noun. It's a thing that's bodily in a person. Death is a thing that works bodily in a person. Okay, I don't know exactly how that to describe that to you exactly, how that looks or whatever, but I do know that death is a noun. Death is something that can work in the body of a person, okay? And that's all I'm going to say because I don't understand anything more than that, okay? But I will say this, that death also in the Bible, this would take a lot longer to explain, but corruption and death in the Bible are actually used interchangeably. So the word decay or the word corruption in the Bible is used interchangeably with the word death. And I just give you one quick example of this is 2 Peter chapter 1. They said that there's corruption in the world because of lust. Corruption in the world because of lust. In other words, sinful desire. Lust produces corruption. And in Romans 5, it'll say that death comes because of sin. And so in other words, I'm just trying to show you that the word lust and the word sin is being used interchangeably there. The word death and the word corruption are also being used interchangeably. You can say that death comes through sin, or you can say that corruption comes through lust, but it's the same thing. It's talking about that noun kind of sin, okay? That's why it just says lust, because it's that noun kind of sin, that before there's ever even an action, the lust behind it, the sin behind it, the hurtful desire behind the action, that's what sin is, okay? Sin is a thing, as is death a thing. Okay, that can work and it's used, like I said, interchangeably with the word corruption. The day that Adam ate, and this would take way, way, way too long for just tonight to explain, so I will not explain this, and yes, I do have more verses for this, but when God actually commanded Adam and said that you shall not eat of this, and told him that he would die that very day, there was a death that entered the body of Adam, okay, and yes, it was bodily. Yes, it was bodily, and this much I will show you in a second, but yes, it was bodily. That there was death that entered the body of Adam that very day, and a human body apart from Jesus, okay? Even a Christian's body without the working of the Holy Spirit, okay? If Christ is just merely in a believer, but not working through a believer, if Christ be in you, your body is still dead because of sin, okay? The body is still dead. That death, what's that death? I'm talking about corruption. I'm talking about decay. If Christ stays inside of you and he doesn't work through a believer, your body will remain dead because of Adam's sin, okay? Even in that verse, I'm just shooting verses out here right now. If we went to every single one, I'd have no time. But you recognize the verse, right? The body is dead because of sin. What is dead because of sin? Now, hold on. Whose sin is that talking about? Well, there's only one kind of sin in the world today, right? That's Adam's. Right? It all came from one man. The Bible says that. So, okay, so let's say it that way. The body is dead because of Adam's sin. Think about this. Does death really mean separation from God? Well, look at what it says here. What's dead because of Adam's sin? And how do you, you're putting words in the verse's mouth. No, all sin in the world is from one man. Romans 5 says that. So it's okay to say Adam's sin there, right? I'm just interpreting it for you. The body is dead because of Adam's sin. So when the Bible says that Adam died that day, what died? And what also died for every single person born thereafter? The body. The body died because of Adam's sin. So when Adam ate of the tree, what died? Was it just his soul or his spirit separated in fellowship with God? No, that's not what the Bible says. Mind you, there's no verse that says that Adam was separated from God because of sin. There's no verse that says that. Now, I don't doubt certain things happen with his fellowship with the Lord, but that's beside the point. That is not what the word death means. The body died. The body died. The body died. There's death working in people's body. It is a physical. The word physical obviously means tangible. It's talking about matter, physical, right? The body, is that not physical? Yes, the death that Adam died that day was physical. It wasn't complete, though. Okay, because someone can, that whole course, and I can also show you a verse for this in the book of James, chapter 1, that death can run a full course. And then that's when you have full inactivity in a human body, and that's when we bury them, right? But still, the human body is still dead because of sin apart from Christ. That's the point, right? The human body is dead because of sin without Jesus. Yes, it's physical. Yes, it's tangible. Yes, it has everything to do with your health. Yes, it has everything to do with your strength. That is what death is. That's what corruption and decay is. And like I said, apart from the working of the Holy Spirit, every human body in this earth, Christian or not, is still dead because of sin. But when you have the Holy Spirit working in your body, when Christ is not only just in you, but working through you, the body doesn't have to be dead because of sin. Now you have life working in you, and that's the second part of that verse, that now the Spirit, though, is life because of righteousness, and if the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then that if he's just in you, that doesn't help your body. But if the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he'll give life to your mortal body, your dead body. He'll give life to your mortal body. You see this? The body is dead. What's mortal? The body. And what's God doing in your body? Giving life to your body through righteousness. And we'll get to that in a second. My whole point with this verse here is to show you what is dead. What is dead because of sin has nothing to do with your fellowship with God in this verse. You could say it this way. Your body being dead in your sins. That clarifies the entire verse for you. It'll clarify the entire Bible for you when you understand what the death that Adam brought to this world really is. Don't fall for the fellowship with God thing that people say. That's 100% false. It is not true that fellowship with God was broken in the garden and that's what death is. That is 100% false. I tell you what, it's like what I was saying before. If we misinterpret words the way we love to do today, if we keep misinterpreting words in the Bible and defining them the way that we want to define them, which makes sense with our experience or what have you, we end up not even knowing what the inheritance is. It's like eternal life. Pastor Jose said this mockingly, rightfully, on Sunday. Jesus says he comes to bring us eternal life. You would think that would be the simplest term in the world for us to understand. Eternal means forever, and life is life. And somehow, we have a problem when we say that one doesn't have to die if you have Jesus. But you see, it's the simplest term in the world. Eternal life is not hard. I mean, a fifth grader can understand what eternal life is. But in all of our education, we misconstrue the word of God. We misconstrue what God was trying to say. And we end up not understanding what we have in Christ because we want to twist it to what makes sense to us, to what we've seen before. And we've never seen somebody like Enoch taken by the Lord. We've never seen someone just not die ever in our lifetime. So we say it's not true. And if you say eternal life means eternal life, you're a heretic. If you say eternal life means eternal life, you're not of God or something. It's amazing. It is literally, it's mind-blowing. And Jesus said the same thing, that he was astonished at their unbelief. Astonished at how far our minds can go. Left up to our own thinking, right? We've got to start listening to Jesus, right? Let go of the truth and start holding on to the one who is the truth, right? Man, you need that. So you being dead, that's your body was dead because of sin. And what is that particularly? I could explain this a little bit more. That's not talking about the full work of death, which is that full inactivity. When you bury somebody in the ground, you know, like at a funeral or something, you bury somebody. That's the work of death completed. Again, James 1, there's a verse there that kind of alludes to that. It actually just says that when sin is finished, that it brings forth death. And that's talking about complete death. When sin is finished. In other words, finished. When it has its full course, what happens? Somebody dies, full inactivity. When sin is what? Completed, when it's finished. This is what's pretty cool, that when Jesus died, he said, it is finished and then died. In other words, sin's run its full course for me in death and went full inactive. Okay? There is a course that death can run, or rather, better said, that sin can run in producing death, and it can produce until it finally kills somebody completely. That's a curse, and that's not the way things are supposed to be, and truthfully, it's not the way it is for any believer, whether you know it or not. It's not the way it is for you, and you don't have to experience the results of that either, because Christ is in you. Let's explain this a little bit more. Being dead in your sins, that's your body. Okay, apart from Christ, I'm talking, right? But that is the body. The body is dead in sin. And again, I just quoted that verse that explains to you what is dead because of sin. The body is dead because of sin, right? So it interprets that verse for us. I didn't even have to. Let's just jump down a little bit to the middle of the verse. He has quickened together. In other words, he has quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Okay, let's talk about this just for a second. And again, I can stop it at any point. But let me just say this. Adam's sin is what brought death into this world, okay? Adam's sin brought death into the world. In fact, to all creation, actually. Okay, that's why even plants, that's why we got fake plants up here. Because until we know Jesus perfect, it's more of a hassle to maintain a plant. You just get fake ones. Why? But why do you get fake ones? Because it lasts longer, right? Because a typical plant is not going to last that long. Now, that's not really true for us because we could have real plants up here, and that could be sustained. You know, the Lord would ever lead us to do that if he knew that that's where our heart was at, our mind was at. Then he could lead us to get real plants in the future. But obviously, you have fake plants because all creation is actually groaning in death right now, okay? Now, creation doesn't have redemption like we do. We have redemption inside of us. Creation doesn't. But we have that inside of us. And again, so Adam's sin brought death to everybody. And that death is bodily, it is physical, it is tangible, and it does cause physical results, okay? It's not some spiritual relationship with God thing. Okay? Now, here's also the point. On the flip side of this, all right, it really is so cool. The Lord taught me this, and when the Lord taught me this, I was going through a real struggle in my mind. I know I don't have to, you know, but at the time, I had a severe lack of knowledge of the Lord in a certain area, and I did not know how to explain certain things. And when the Lord showed me this, I'm telling you what, this was mind-boggling to me. And it's so simple, okay? So simple. And you can see it represented in this verse. It's so super simple, all right? Look at this. All death, we know, comes from sin. What kind of sin? The sin that Adam brought into the world, right? That sin that is a noun. Yes, it is a noun, because if you read Romans 7, you'll find out sin is a noun. It's not just the action. I know when someone does a bad action, we call, oh, they sinned. I understand that. But sin is a noun before it ever produces an action. It's a noun inside of a human body. Romans 7 says that. He says that sin was working in his members. Okay, that's not talking about an action. That's talking about before there's ever an action, sin is in a person's members, in their body, as with death also. Now, here's the point. We know that all death in this world, now what is death? If I do something bad, right? Let's say if I do something wrong, can I call that death? No, that's not death, that's sin, right? Or the results of it, right? That's I sin. Death is the decay that comes from sin. Okay, it's important to divide those things, that we understand what sin is, we understand what death is. Sometimes when you see, you know, people misbehaving and people, you know, whatever, doing all the stuff that they do in this world, we say, oh, it's just the death of this world, you know. But no, that's not the death of this world. That's the sin of this world. Death is the decay that happens in a human body because sin is present, okay? And it just makes sense. We said this on Friday. I won't repeat it, but all death, decay, let's just say decay for now. It's not really what the word death means in its entirety, but that's an okay word for now. Decay, all of it comes from sin. From just having sin, not just because of how many times you do a wrong action. You understand, right? Because all the people that are so upright and will look down on their noses at everybody else that think that they're so righteous, their sin, the same sin that's in every person's body apart from Jesus, the same sin. Listen, when we were born, all of us in here, from, you know, physically speaking, you didn't get sin because you sinned. You got sin because you were born of somebody that trespassed way back in the garden. That's a real equality there for people even in this world. There is no person that has more sin or is more sinful. Jesus said the same thing. He said, are these people any more sinful than these? And I can get you that's a paraphrase, but he said that there were some Galileans or something that had died. He said, oh, were they any more sinful than anybody else? Okay, it's all the same sin. Now, because it's all the same sin and came from the same man, and why did Adam die? Because let's say it plainly, okay, for now. There's more to be said about this, but let's say it plainly. Because he sinned, right? He sinned, and he polluted himself with sin. We call it sinful nature. That's not really in the Bible, but it's okay to call it that, I guess, but just as long as you know it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible to say sinful nature, but it is true. His nature became sinful, right? Adam's nature became sinful when he trespassed against the Lord in eating of the tree. In fact, Adam's sinful nature, if you want to call it that, came from the devil, all right? And there is a likeness there now, because he trespassed. He became like the devil is, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. Doesn't mean that every single thing that Adam ever did in his life was exactly as the devil would do it. But the nature of the devil, which is sin, was working in the body of Adam. Now that can be suppressed and that can be held back. And then, like under the law, with all the do's and don'ts of the law, where it stressed your flesh's strength, it came out more. It says sin became alive. It was like there all the time, but it was dormant, okay? It doesn't mean that every single person does the same bad stuff. There are a lot of things that I haven't done in my life that I've never done drugs or drinking alcohol or, you know, or said certain words that other people have said, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because everybody was born in the same sin. Just because someone manifests it more has nothing to do with what was present in every person's body apart from Jesus, okay? It's the same thing. Why? Because it comes from one person, Adam, in the garden. And because we had his sin, and remember, he died because of his sin, right? He was cursed because of his sin. And God did use the word curse. He said, cursed is you, Adam, in a paraphrase, because of, I won't go further than that, but cursed is you is basically what he said. That's a curse. And because Adam was cursed because of his sin, because we got Adam's sin, we inherited his curse. We inherited Adam's death, his decay. That curse that was upon him, we inherited that because of his sin, through his sin. Sin was like a gate that allowed death to work in every person I'm telling you what, there are babies that die, and every baby is born corrupt. And I don't mean corrupt like, you know, like twisted or perverted. I mean corrupt as in like corrupting, decaying. Every baby is born that way. He hasn't even had a chance to do anything right or wrong yet. And every baby is born that way. That's why babies can be born with deformity before they've ever sinned, they've ever done anything wrong. They can be before with deformities and tumors and addictions, and you can be born like that, right? Now, let me just say this. One man's sin spread to the whole world, and because his sin was cursed, everybody got the same curse because they got this man's sin. And that is just, and that is the way that it should have been done. God didn't want that to happen, but that is just, though. That is just, that it's right, that if you have someone's same sin, you get the same punishment. That condemnation, which wasn't unto us, but it was to Adam, was now unto us because we were born into his sin. Condemnation. The word condemnation doesn't just mean feeling guilty. We can use it that way sometimes, but condemnation is punishment. And that punishment, death, was passed on every single person because we had his sin, and that was right. So think about this. You weren't born sinning, but you inherited this through one man. So death comes because of sin. Death comes because of sin. The reason why I'm pointing that out is because of this next verse. Let's just look at the end of verse 13. Having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. I'm not going to explain to you the difference between forgiveness and cleansing and all the stuff we've been through in the past. Well, let's just take forgiveness right now. It's just a whole, all right? All trespasses. I will say this much, that forgiveness is a blotting out of the record of you ever having been involved with sin ever, ever. Having anything to do with sin, it's not even on your record in heaven. There are records, and has been blotted out completely as if you have never done anything wrong. I think about this before, but just before we stop. All trespasses before God has been forgiven. And if you can take this a step further, and he talked before about how we've been baptized. That just means that you've been cleansed also. The word baptism is referring to our washing. So we were washed, we were forgiven all trespasses, we were made clean, righteous before God. And I won't go very much further than this. But God sets you free from all death and corruption in this world through what? The forgiveness of sins, through the cleansing of sin. And this is why eternal life, when Jesus says eternal life, remember what was dead before? What we said, right? What was dead? The body, right? Okay. So if God comes to give us life, what in the world do you think it's for? But think about it. We know Jesus is a savior, right? He's a savior. Now, if he's a savior, that's probably a problem or something to be saved from, right? Now, when you actually find out what the real problem was, it's the body was decaying. It was destined to that because it inherited Adam's sin just by being born. So all the problems is with the body, with people's bodies. That's what was wrong. And he comes to now bring life and righteousness, and we assume that life, eternal life, means something completely other than life for our body. It is life for your body. Where was the problem of death? We do understand, right, that death is the opposite of life. So if he comes to bring you eternal life now, in contrast to death, you were dead and now you're made alive, you have now, as a believer, life inside of you that lasts forever. Life is kind of like saying power for activity. It's power for, so instead of decaying into lesser and lesser activity until full inactivity like Jesus did, it's power to increase in you from glory to glory unto full activity, where you're completely active all the time. Never this decaying into inactivity, but rather an increasing into activity. That's the power of God, or we call it the life of God inside of us. Life doesn't mean knowing God, and death doesn't mean separation from God. Death means death, and life means life. And it's for, primarily, what we're talking about right now at least, it's obviously it gets put in your spirit. We have it all in our spirits right now. But I mean, it's destined for your body. You are predestined for that, for it to be in your body. And how did God do that? It is so, so, so stinking simple. If death is because of sin, I mean, you cannot get any simpler than this. how can you possibly be bound to death if you're forgiven of sin now? That just doesn't make any sense to me. If death, all death, and what kind of death? Bodily death, bodily decay in all forms of it, even the death of sin creation, obviously, but just talking about personally right now for people, all death's because of sin. And he forgave your sin, cleansed you of it, of all trespasses, forgave you of all unrighteousness, forgave you and cleansed you of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, right? Which is not a repetition verse, it's just a one-time verse when you get saved. He cleansed you of all unrighteousness. If it's really all cleansed, then you shouldn't have to repeat it, right? It's really all cleansed. It's just 1 John 1:9, just so you know, it is about salvation. When you get saved, you confess that, Lord, I have sinned, and if you have confessed that you have sinned, then there's somebody that can cleanse you and wash you and forgive you of all unrighteousness. And that happened. The better question would be, Lord, why don't I see this all manifest? Because death only can survive when there's sin. And if God forgave you of all sin, that's how he set you free from the decay of the world. And that's aging and everything that goes along with that. That's everything. And it's not something for us to aspire to. You understand? Like, the second you start hearing things like this and aspire to it, you think about it and you, wow, wow, wow. The fact that you say wow means this, you haven't owned it in your mind yet. Like, it's not yours yet. Like, it's not like it's out here and it's that's so cool, but it's not yours yet. Like, it's not normal yet. Like, it's still a wow thing, you know? No, all of that. Think about being absent of sin. If we were never even born into sin, there would have been no death ever in this world. And what's the reason behind God forgiving you? It's so that you wouldn't live under a curse anymore, that you would live under his blessing, which is eternal life, life forevermore. And that is what it sounds like. It is what it sounds like. You live, thrive, healthy, and prospered for the rest of your life, meaning all the way through Jesus coming back and forever. That's like the species, if you want to say it, that we've been created. We're called new creations in Christ. That's a species. It's the Bible actually says that through the gospel, what we're supposed to be preaching through the gospel is bringing what to light through the gospel? Life and immortality through the gospel. Paul says that through the gospel that God wants to bring this to light. In other words, manifest this before people's eyes, that I'm offering you life and immortality. That's not too good to be true. That's ours now. That's ours right now. Unless Jesus has to die at some other point in time, and even if he did, we'd be Old Testament saints and we could still receive it, because he's dying, he would be coming to die for all time, which would include us. So God would put it on credit until he came. But can you imagine this, though, that we're after Christ believers and we're waiting for something. Meanwhile, the whole problem of death is sin, and he forgave you of that very thing, so that he could bring to light before you, I'm offering you life and immortality through Jesus. That's what God wants to bring to light through Jesus, life and immortality. Man, I tell you what, as silly as it sounds, and I will stop really very quickly here, but as silly as it sounds, we watch so many movies and stuff like that today, and I don't mind watching a movie, it's fine. Like, if it's a fine movie, then I don't care about watching a movie, you know? It's not about that. It's just like, it just throws everything else to the wayside in your mind, where you're like, it's not relatable anymore. Like, it's just not relatable. Like, it's not, you see all these powers and things, and like, it just, those things are not cool anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not, because you have so much better than that, you know? Life and immortality through the gospel. What kind of gospel are we preaching today? Man, we're teaching like this little piece of it over here in the corner. And let me prove to you this. How is it that God was able to, because look at this verse, and I am stopping here. The word quickened in King James means living, okay? So that's all, like the word quick means alive. Like the quick and the dead, you ever heard of like that Western, the quick and the dead? Like the alive and the dead, the quick. It just means quick, like active, alive. So quickened is Old English for made alive. So it says, he quickened you. He made you alive together with Christ, with him. How did he do that? Well, he forgave you all the trespass. Doesn't that just make sense? Death comes because of sin. He forgives the sin. That's how he can make you alive now. And I will close right here. That all the stuff that we're talking about right now, about being made alive and life and immortality and all the ways that God has gotten this to us by forgiving us of sin and cleansing us, that is available to you. God's given you access into this immortality. You see what I'm doing right now? I thank God that there's so many believers in the world, that there's probably a lot of people that can, yeah, that have the potential to be teaching the same thing, but we're bringing life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, it just, that's awesome that people can, it's like you gave the inheritance back to the people of God. Man, like, not that it was ever gone, it's just in their hearts, I mean. It's like they received a new revelation of what God actually gave them. But you can see here, though, that being quick and being made alive, this life and immortality that we've received inside, God gave it to you through righteousness because he forgave you all trespasses. That gives you the right to everything that we were talking about right now. Okay? Life and immortality, you have the right to it. If you're forgiven of all sin, that means there's not even any record of you having anything to do with Adam, ever. That gives you the right to live forever.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.